all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio. This is Veterans Radio. And now, your hosts for today's program, Dale Thronberry and Bob Gould.
And hello, America. Welcome to Veterans Radio. We're really excited to have you here. Bob is here with me.
I'm here.
101st Airborne.
101st. Stand in the door.
There we go. And as we mentioned earlier, my name is Dale Thronberry, and I was Sky Chief 20 with the 195th Assault Helicopter Company, 1969.
Ghost Riders.
Ghost Riders, yes.
And we're together again.
Yes, we are. I don't know if I want to know that. But anyhow, Bob, we're really excited today because we're going to be talking about what the heck is going on in Iraq. Is it kind of the rebirth of, Iraqi freedom part deux or what? So we've got in the studios in just a little bit, we've got a couple of Iraqi veterans on the phone. We've got later on in the program, we're going to have our good friend Bing West will be on to talk about his opinions, which he has many, which is always cool. And he's going to be talking about what is going on in Iraq and what our options are. And just to remind people about Bing West is that his book was called The Strongest Tribe. And he was talking about how the people in Iraq decided that actually working with the Americans would probably be the best deal going. Unfortunately, that has changed. And we're going to see what's going on with the next Strongest Tribe to see what's happening with that. But first, we have a couple of announcements, and then we'll get to our first guest.
I have one right here. Thunder over Michigan is coming again, and this time we're going to have a demonstration team. Yeah, it's going to be the Air Force Thunderbirds in Thunder over Michigan at Willow Run Airport in Ypsilanti, Michigan, August 9th and 10th. Boy, you know, if you're making vacation plans, you want to go somewhere that the family can have a great time. We're talking mom, dad, aunts, uncles, grandchildren, whatever. And by the way, kids under 15 are no charge. Isn't that great? Yes, and if you go to the YankeeAirMuseum.org, Thunder over Michigan, you could even get a discount on your tickets.
That's very true, and these tickets are very valuable because there's going to be so much information and so many static displays and so many demonstrations. Not only are you going to see the Thunderbirds are going to be there, the Sky Pilots are going to be there with their Hueys flying all over again. It's a great opportunity for you to see some incredible pilots and some incredible airplanes, all kinds, from years ago up until today.
And then, well, oftentimes you'll hear, well, I mean, this is for me. This isn't going to be for the wife. Yeah, it is for the wife and the kids. So where else can you have your photo taken and right next to a B-52? How about that, folks? You know how big that thing is? That tail is 5 stories high. When you take a look at that up close and personal, you're going to take a look and say, man, did we build something that, and you know, look how many years it's lasted. It still is the mainstay of our bomber fleet, the B-52.
And the Yankee Air Museum is pleased to announce that their fundraising has come through, so they were able to purchase the hangar left over from World War II, from the Arsenal of Democracy, which we're going to be talking about in August, I believe it is, that you have a program coming up on that.
Yep.
And
on the Arsenal of Democracy.
Yes.
August 3rd.
Well, see, there we go. Got to get a free promo out of it, right? So we're going to be talking with a lot of people at the Yankee Air Museum, and again, we hope to encourage everybody to come on out.
Can I get that one more time?
Yes,
www.yankeeairmuseum.org. Remember, yeah. It's .org for Yankee Air Museum. You can have discounts ahead of time, and you can have all that wrapped up, and there are plenty of motels, hotels, camping spots, anything, RV, whatever that you want to do around this area in Ypsilanti, Michigan. So we hope to see you there.
Yep, we do. We do. You had another piece of news that we saw in the paper today, actually, from Schoolcraft College, which is a local junior college or community college up in Livonia, and they are opening what?
A welcome center.
A welcome center for who?
Well, for veterans. Mostly Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, but it's going to be a place. Look, here they just say it right up, a place to hang out.
Right. That's what they said.
A place to hang out.
I saw that in the article.
To meet fellow, I don't know, what would you call them? Middle East, right. Middle East veterans.
The Iraqi freedom, Afghanistan freedom.
And it's going to have
OEIF. I don't even remember what they. I think they have more acronyms than we did. But the majority of veterans that says served in Iraq or Afghanistan, these are the type of students that I have. We don't run into too many Vietnam veterans going back to college.
No.
yeah, it's I think it's kind of cool. It's going to help their students working their way through the veterans with all the paperwork, you know, the GI Bill, anything else.
That's way cool. That's
and
way cool.
They're hoping to have a one-stop shop, and they want to have this all in place by the time the fall semester begins. So we want to congratulate Schoolcraft College on doing this, and we're looking forward to having, let's see, it looks like Pam Paxton Keener is the college's veteran service coordinator, so we're going to have her on the program later on, probably around August, just before it opens. I know they have these centers all around this area on, in various community colleges and four-year colleges.
That's really exciting stuff. Every time I see that and how the public in the community is reaching out to veterans, that, I mean, who would have ever thought way back when, right? I mean, there was a time when there were Beetle Bailey and, the veterans are sort of like the loser cause. But it's not that way anymore, folks. And you have a chance and opportunities there to get this information. So
a lot of information out there and there's a lot of help. I just, you know, I'm learning as we go along, too, that there are still benefits for people our age. So we encourage people to check with the VA. You may, you know, maybe you want to buy a house or maybe you want to do something else. You can still do it, which is really cool.
But the first thing you have to do, you have to register with the VA. So we encourage everybody, even if you're going to use a VA or I'm not going to use a VA, it doesn't have to be the hospital. You can go to the VA to register with the Veterans Administration. And that's what you want to do. You want to get your name in there and then start receiving all that information.
Okay. All right. We have a guest on our phone, and I wanted to find it here. It says, here it is. Veterans, active duty and reservists, military invited to eat free at TA and Petro Stopping Centers, full-service restaurants on Independence Day. And joining me on the line right now is, where did her name go? Andy. Where did Andy's name go? My last name. Anyway, Andy, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you so much. It's may I first say it's an honor, and I'm very humbled to be here. And let me just thank you both for your service and for those who are listening that personally, and on behalf of TA and Petro, thank you so much for your service. It means the world to us.
Well, thank you very much. But let's tell everybody about the offer that you've got going here.
Sure, my pleasure. At TA and Petro Stopping Centers, we have approximately 170 full-service restaurants. So that means sit-down, full-service, full menu. And this Friday, as we have done for the past 3 years, we would love to invite all veteran, active duty, and reservists to come on in and allow us the honor of serving you a free meal. As just a small token of our appreciation for your service. And that's any meal up to $15 off the menu. There's no restrictions. Just come on in.
And this is all day?
All day long. You know, come in a couple times a day. That's fine.
I was going to say.
So breakfast, come have dinner.
So if you're traveling, you could be having free meals all the way across
all
the country.
All the way for the day.
There you go. It's a long day. A lot of our restaurants are open 24 hours. Come on.
There you go. In fact, I know that there's one out here in the Ann Arbor area out on Baker Road out toward Dexter. And so I encourage people to go out there starting in the morning. I wish I'd known about this when I drove to New Jersey last weekend. so the TA stands for Travel America. Is that cruel? Or is it
Travel Centers of America, that's correct.
Okay.
And then there's Petro Stopping Centers, which there are fewer of, but in the Michigan area, we have 5 Travel Centers of America, Saginaw, Sawyer, Battle Creek, Tekonsha, Monroe, and as you mentioned, Ann Arbor.
Okay. I've seen most all of those, and I know that I've stopped at them, and they have great food. So we can start early in the morning for breakfast. We can drive up to Saginaw, have lunch, drive back down to Tekonsha, and have dinner.
Dinner.
I think it's a plan.
It's a great deal.
So you've got some other things that you're tied up with veterans organizations, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about those, Andy. National Military Family Association.
Yes, this is our second year partnering with the National Military Family Association, and specifically with their Operation Purple program. And Operation Purple, what we love about it is that they provide services to the entire military family in different phases of military life, whether it's deployment, reintegration, and they're coming together after an injury. Specifically, what we'll be doing is beginning tomorrow, through July 4th, we're going to be selling paper flags. And on the paper flag, you can purchase them for a recommended donation of $1. You can put your name on it or honor a military family or service member of your choice. We'll post them in our restaurants. And then all of those monies, 100%, we do not hold any dollars back for the printing or anything. We'll just donate it all directly to the National Military Family Association for their Operation Purple to help families. And I believe one of their greatest needs is they do a lot of retreats / camps, where they're allowed to take kids and families together in these different phases of military life and really help them enjoy time together and either reconnect or prepare for what lies ahead in a military journey. So we're just thrilled to partner with them again.
I think this is great. And is there a website where people can go and find out more information about this, Andy?
For National Military Family Association, absolutely. You can go to www.militaryfamily.org.
Okay.
And regarding the TA Petros, if you want to look up the location near you or plan your journey on July 4th, you can go to www.ta-petro.com/roadtrip. And on there are location listings. We also have, for families, kids games. We have coupons up there. And we also have an e-club that you're welcome to join, and we'll send you special offers. So all of that is out there at your disposal.
Okay.
And if I may, I just wanted to include, in order to receive the meal, we just ask that you bring proof of service, which is something everybody should have, but I'll give you a heads up so you can find it prior to coming in. Just let your server know that you served. Either show up in the uniform, which is absolutely A-okay. That would be just a treat for us and be able to honor you in that way. Or bring a uniform services ID card or a retired ID card, a current leave and earnings statement, a veterans organization card, a DD-214, or any citation of commendation. And if for some reason you don't have one of these, and you let our folks know that you're a veteran, we'll take care of you.
I think that they would. We could always demonstrate some sort of, you know, karate hold or something.
That
you would only learn.
Proper salute.
Proper salute. Andy Rice, I want to thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio, reminding everybody to head out towards their Travel America centers or Petro centers. Free food all day next Friday and 4th of July. Thank you very much, Andy, for being on Veterans Radio.
My pleasure, and thank you.
Thank you again. Okay, I got one thing I want to, another item that I want to bring up here. And if you've got any conversation that you want to jump into the conversation, give us a call here at 734-822-1600. Or you can call us toll free at 844-838-1600. That was tough. I don't have my sheet in front of me. We're going to be going, taking a break in just a little bit, but one of our guests in our next segment is Andrew Turner. And Andrew and his wife, Jamie, are here, and they are part of Operation Refuge. And they have had a project going on for the entire month of June. And I just want to welcome them. They're in the studio, and I'll start off with Andrew. And so tell us a little bit about what you have been doing every night at 7 o'clock.
Sure, and thanks for having us on. It's always a pleasure to be in studio with you guys. But every night for the month of June, since it's Post-Traumatic Stress Awareness Month, we have been planting 22 crosses for the 22 veteran suicides that happen nationally every day. So we're up to, I think, 638 right now. Tomorrow will be our last two. Tomorrow's the last day of the month, and we're going to have an event out there, a community gathering to get supporters together, put our last 22 crosses in, and then kind of reflect on the project and let people know what we can do to start making a change and putting a dent into that number so that maybe next year we only have to put 21 in the ground or 20 in the ground or see what we can do
down. That would be great. The lower the numbers, the less we need to get in there.
Absolutely.
Jamie, I wanted to ask you because I read an article that you wrote about kind of the motivation for this, and I wanted to if you could kind of share that with our audience of how you came up with this idea. I know it wasn't only your idea, but I think it might have been, but how you came up with this.
Sure, absolutely. On Memorial Day this year, Andrew and I were at home. We were both working on Veterans Refuge projects. I was on one side of the couch. He was on the other. And we both got a text. And it was from the father of our friend who passed in January. He had gone out to the military cemetery to visit his son and took a photo with his arm around his headstone. And it was just very simple words. It said, I miss my Z-boy. His name was Zach. He's my hero. I love you. And we both got the text, and it kind of just froze our afternoon, just like how profound this was. One loss, and it had such a ripple effect on hundreds of people. And I started thinking about, like, that was one loss, but there's 21 others a day, mm-hmm. and what does 22 look like? And then I started thinking for the month of June, 22 a day, that's 660 total. What does that look like? Can we visually show what 22 losses every day is? And I didn't say anything to Andrew, let it stew a couple of hours, mm-hmm. and then we were on our way home from, we went and grabbed some food, and I was like, so I've kind of got a crazy idea, and told him, and he was like, let's go to Home Depot. So we drove directly to Home Depot, bought the lumber, and then for the last couple weeks, we've been painting and cutting and building and putting in 22 crosses every night.
Well, for the people in the Ann Arbor area, where could they go or where would they go to see this?
The property that donated the land for us for the use is Pineview Church in Ypsilanti Township. The address is 6400 Textile Road, and it's right out front. There's two big signs. You can see it when you drive by.
There are.
Yeah, and you can stop. We have people every night usually honk or stop by. And actually, on Monday night, there was a gentleman that stopped by. His name was Bob. Little dog Emma, they heard about our project from listening to your show the night before. So they wanted to come
We have
over.
Listeners. Yeah, I told you we had listeners.
So thank you, Bob.
Well, thank you, because he stopped by and said that he had heard about this. And I encourage everyone in the local area to head out there, especially tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And the address again was?
6400 Textile Road. And there'll be a lot of us out there, a lot of supporters, and yeah, anybody that wants to stop by is more than welcome. Come check out the display and see. I think it'll have a profound impact once you can see this whole display.
I know it will, because it certainly did on me when I drove by. I had to stop and come back around. That's a lot of crosses when you think about it. 600 crosses is a lot, and that's 22 a day. That's unacceptable.
First talking about where to put it at, Jamie said, well, worst case scenario, we can put it in the front yard at our house. And I thought, well, I don't know if we got a big enough yard for that. And we certainly don't, because it's a very big piece of property that it takes to hold mm-hmm. all these crosses.
It does. Anyway, I want to thank both of you for what you're doing. And thank you for Veterans Refuge. And we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks on Veterans Radio. Thank you both.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to start talking about Iraq. Now what? We'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone. At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there. So now, I'm never alone. I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill
or VA hospitals, managing the transition home, or meeting people you can share stories with, you'll find it at IAVA.org. Even if it's just everyday stuff.
Like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say
sweater?
That?
Really?
What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and right now we're going to be talking with a couple of Iraqi veterans. And we're going to start off with, in the studio with me right now, as we've already talked about, is Andrew Turner. Andrew, welcome back after a quick break.
Thank you. I'll take off my Veterans Refuge hat and put on my Veteran of Iraq hat, and we'll continue the conversation.
Right. And joining me on the line are two other people that served with Andrew in Iraq. And I've got Rob Stewart. Rob, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Okay. And I've got Tom Fedwick. Tom, are you there?
I am, and thank you for allowing me to come on the program.
Thank you very much. All three of you were there at the same time. And I'm going to go back to Andrew. When were you three in Vietnam? Or, yeah, There we go. Like well, time trip on all this stuff all the time.
We took the time machine back to Vietnam. But
well, so when
Well, we were in we're in Iraq together in 2005. Rob Stewart was my platoon sergeant. Tom Fenwick was an NCO in another platoon, and I was a medic that helped both of those guys out. When we were in the Sadr City area of Baghdad in 2005.
Okay, and so what was your experience like in 2005 as far as the activity going on there? Who were the good guys, who were the bad guys, or was everybody the bad guy?
Well, most of the guys wearing the same uniform I was wearing were the good guys. But, you know, it was really hard to distinguish who the bad guys were, honestly, because, you know, they don't wear a uniform like we did, so we didn't really have an enemy that we could point to. As, you know, we're always head on a swivel, always, you know, never knowing where an attack could possibly come from or where help would be coming from. So we never know if we were talking to friend or foe, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Tom, how about you? What was your experience like? How did you feel?
You know, same thing with what Andrew was just saying. It was tough because you would have guys that you thought were your friends, Iraqi civilians and or police officers or whatever that you would think were your friends. And I use the term friends loosely, but you would go and see them every day. You would chat with them through an interpreter. Some of them knew English and you know, you'd talk about American movies or you know, the weather. It didn't matter what it was. And then you'd come back the next week to visit the same station, and it would turn out that they had defected. They had taken all the ammo and weapons that we had brought to them, and they were now on the other side. So it was impossible to tell.
I can only assume that was really frustrating for all three of you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I can relate to that one. Rob, tell me a little bit about how you felt back in 2005 when you were in Iraq.
You know, when I tell people about my experience in Iraq, it was, I always make the analogy to the taming of the West. You know, like OAF-1 and OAF-2 was, the cavalry, you know, doing battle with all the Indians. And by the time we got there for OAF-3, it was like the wild, wild West. I always equated us to being the Wyatt Earps and the, it was Dodge City. It was, there was no direct firefights anymore. Everything that we encountered was, unfortunately, we lost a soldier to a sniper. We had more than enough IEDs that developed into bigger and badder explosions. But it was the taming of the West for us because we were interacting with the Iraqi police, and we were the sheriffs. We basically, what we said went when it came to the Iraqi police. But then as another unit that we were familiar with went a year later, everything has changed. The rules of engagement has changed so much that it was now, you know, to a detriment to their safety versus we pretty much ruled the roads when we were there. So it was a very unique experience where, you know, I was fortunate that I had 40 outstanding young men that I could not have asked any more from these young men that when I was 21, 22, 23 years old, I don't know if I could have done that. So these guys were like my kids, and they still are.
Yeah, it is amazing. It's so unusual when you think you're going back 9 years ago in your life and how it has changed. We've got about a minute to go. Andrew, what's your reaction to what's going on there right now?
I think it's disappointing, but at the same time, I don't know that I find it unexpected. I think even while we were there, it, you know, if I would have had a snapshot into the future, it would not surprise me to see what has happened. At the time, I just tried to focus on doing my job to the best of my ability, doing personally good for the people that were there, and then personally doing, you know, my best to take care of my soldiers. And I really tried to focus on just my individual lane and doing the best that I could. And in the grand scheme of things, I kind of expected this, and I didn't let myself get wrapped up into that too much.
Okay. It is kind of frightening when you think about it. And we got to come up onto a break here in just a minute. And so when we come back, we're going to have our three Iraqi veterans responding responding to Bing West, who's going to be talking about the Strongest Tribe and his adventures. And I missed that time cue, but I guess I'm going to say that, you know, you're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be back in just a moment with Bing West and our three Iraqi veterans. We'll be right back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Lance Corporal Roy Wheat threw himself on an anti-personnel mine to save his fellow Marines. Details after this.
You have your boots on, you're wet, you're cold. You feel like it's the land of time forgot. Drill instructors all over the place, they're like lying. And you ask yourself, my God, what did I get myself into? Your body's screaming, but your mind and your heart tells you, keep on going. Don't give up. You question yourself, do I have what it takes to become a United States Marine? In the back of my mind, I knew I was not going to quit on myself. And when you stand there on the parade deck, and that drill instructor comes in front of you, the one that made you better, holds out his hand, shakes your hand, and they call you brother, call you Marine, you break down in tears.
Private Ramon Hernandez became a United States Marine. Can you? Call 1-800-MARINES. Maybe you could be one of the few and the proud.
Wheat and two other Marines were assigned the mission of providing security for a Navy construction battalion crane and crew operating along Liberty Road in the Quang Nam province. After the Marines had set up security positions in a tree line adjacent to the work site, Wheat reconnoitered the area to the rear of their location for the possible presence of guerrillas. He then returned to within 10 feet of their friendly position and here, unintentionally, triggered a well-concealed bounding-type anti-personnel mine. Immediately, a hissing sound was heard, which was identified by the three Marines as that of a burning time fuse. Shouting a warning to his comrades, Wheat, in a valiant act of heroism, hurled himself upon the mine, absorbing the tremendous impact of the explosion with his body.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
It's time for This American Voice with Theron, brought to you by A&H Lawn Service. Now here's Theron.
To hear Barack Hussein Obama tell that he learns all that he knows from reading the papers, he had no idea that the Internal Revenue Service was auditing American citizens based on their political views. He was clueless about James Rosen and other journalists being watched, having their phones and emails monitored by the National Security Administration. He was in the dark on the illegal gun-running operation across our southern border carried on by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, run out of the Department of Justice and Homeland Security. That operation, named Fast and Furious, led to Border Patrol agent Brian Terry being murdered by a Mexican national on American soil, with one of the guns run across the border by the guys that work for Barack Hussein Obama. And not one, but two U.S. Marines were wrongly imprisoned by Mexican military because they mistakenly strayed across the southern border. And one still locked up in that hellhole at this writing. And Hussein Obama is clueless on that front. I guess it doesn't serve his golf game or fundraising. Let me ask you, if he's that incompetent, has no clue to all of the above, is that not dereliction of duty? It most certainly is.
A&H Lawn Service in Saline serves all of Southeast Michigan. They've been offering professional lawn maintenance since 1991, including landscape construction, lawn and landscape maintenance, irrigation systems, winterizing and snow removal. Let A&H Lawn Service help your business with landscaping solutions for today and tomorrow. They have the professional experience you can count on. Call 734-429-5778 and see how their business can help your business, or visit ahlawncare.com.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans' Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Hey, Bob, I understand that you've been to Applebee's lately, and I want to make sure that our audience knows all about their special program for veterans.
Well, I think the message is getting across right now because on Mondays it is Military Monday at all Applebee's there in Michigan, where there is a 30% discount on your meal. Isn't that great?
30%.
30%.
30%.
Yes. Sounds like Veterans Day.
I know. Where can you go and get 30% off your meal on every Monday?
Every Monday.
And what happens on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Well, they don't forget about you because then it's 10%. So you win whenever you go to Applebee's. Well, of course, they've got a wonderful menu. It's a great place to take the family. They have a big selection for the children and, of course, a couple of beers and maybe a little wine for mom, a little beer for dad. That's available, too, but they have great family service, and we're talking about Applebee's, and they are in partner with Veterans Radio. I heard the other day that somebody, while I was at the VA, actually said to me, hey, I went there on Monday. Boy, thanks a lot for letting us know. That's the truth, because we do let them know about Military Monday. That's what that 30% is.
There you go. All right. We're back. I know. It's a great opportunity. We're back on Veterans Radio right now, and we have been talking about, you know, what's going to happen next in Iraq. And joining me on the line right now is an author of The Strongest Tribe and a good friend of Veterans Radio, and that is Bing West. Bing, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you.
It's great to talk to you, and I want to thank you for giving us the time. And, you know, we've only got 25 minutes to solve this problem, and I know it won't go away. So give me your take on what's happening right now, Bing.
Well, the prime minister of Iraq, a fellow by the name of Maliki, is simply anti-Sunni. He's a dyed-in-the-wool Shia who believes that the Sunnis kept the Shiites imprisoned, and now it's his turn to turn the tables on them. So he wasn't acting in good faith as the leader for Iraq, and now it's all come apart. And I seriously doubt if there's any way in which the government of Iraq in Baghdad will ever get back the territory of the Sunnis to the north, and definitely not the Kurds out to the northeast. So we no longer have one country in Iraq. We have three. You have a Sunni group that are now controlled by radicals. You have the Kurds, who are very stable. And then you have the Shiites to the south that now are heavily aligned with Iran. It's a real mess.
It is a real mess. And we've got, you know, the other players out there, the Saudi Arabians and so forth. It doesn't seem like anybody's trying to come to the rescue. They're almost like they're waiting for us to jump in again, and I don't see that happening.
It's highly regrettable because two commanders in chiefs in a row let down the troops. I mean, that's just how I look at it. First, President Bush did believe that he could control Maliki, and it was President Bush at the end who agreed that all American troops would pull out. That was a mistake. Mm-hmm. And then that mistake was compounded by President Obama, because President Obama made no effort to keep any American troops there. And the generals knew this was a mistake coming. General Petraeus knew it. General Odierno knew it. General Mattis knew it. They all knew it. But it happened. So here we are, and we are not going back in. We definitely, under this president, will not do that.
Do you see this as becoming another political football that's going back and forth? I mean, we've had Senator McCain and some of the other ones saying, you know, we got to go back in there and start bombing and so on and so forth. Is that going to be the topic of discussion this fall?
I doubt if it will be that much this fall unless something else catastrophic happens. Now, what more catastrophic could happen than what's happened so far? Well, it could be if pressure is placed upon Jordan. I don't see that happening, but if that happened, that would be, or if Baghdad falls apart. But this election, I think President Obama is going to suffer serious defeats in the Democratic Party, but it's not like any senator is key to what's going on. I think for the next election, it's going to be very interesting to see how Mrs. Clinton tries to establish herself as being anti-Obama and somehow pin the tail for this defeat on Obama and not be carrying it herself.
Right, since she was actively involved as Secretary of State for quite
right.
a while with
right.
this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and how do you get rid of this? I want to go to one of our Iraqi veterans, and I'm going to go to Rob this time. Rob, can you tell me a little bit about what you feel with what's occurred in there in Iraq today, and how does it affect the way that you feel about what you did while you were there?
When everything started reported, and I got angry. I think most veterans got angry, and it was just a matter of narrowing down what I was angry at. You know, I was angry at the left pointing to the right pointing to the left. I was angry at the Iraqi police, the Iraqi army, you know, the entire, you know, reasons that we went in there versus the reasons we got out. And then what I had to do is take a moment to realize that, number one, it didn't come unexpectedly, because our purpose, our mission while we were there was to, in part, to train the Iraqi police to be a self-sustaining police force. And not a single one of them had the courage, the commitment, the dedication to their country, other than the Americans were paying them to put on a blue suit. So it really didn't come as a surprise that everything fell apart and guys were taking off the uniforms and running for the hills. So it took about a week to just kind of put it all back into perspective and just take pride in the fact that I served with 152 fantastic men that did our job to the best of our ability. And that's what we, you know, that's what I tell others to take pride in. You know, who cares about Iraq? Iraq was going to not be what we expected it to be. Take pride in what you did as a soldier.
I agree. Nicely put. Tom, how about you?
Well, like Stuart said, it's pretty much the same thing on my end. We all knew that as soon as we left country, that it would all just go back to the way that it was. I'm actually a little surprised that it took as long as it did, to be completely honest with you. My feeling is that the people of Iraq are so trampled on and so beaten down that they have no desire to make a change anymore. They are simply pawns, and they feel that there's no way for them to rise up. Unless we did some long-term plan or something to change the culture of the people of Iraq, then the corrupt government is always going to just keep putting them down. I mean, there's little other way to say it.
I know.
No, go ahead.
That's all right. I can hear the frustration in all of our voices here. And you know, when I made my slip earlier on about Vietnam, I see similarities that, you know, we left, and then, you know, we let the country fall into chaos, and you know, we didn't go back and save them, like, or help them at all. And I'm going to go to Bing right now. It appears that we're in the same situation. Is Iran going to come in and as a saving Shia country?
Well, since I fought in Vietnam, if I just go back to what Rob and Tom are saying, you know, we have to take pride in what we did as grunts, and we can take pride because, you know, we killed the bad guys. But both of them are right that we knew at the same time, and this really worries me, Tom, too. If you look at Afghanistan, we're seeing the same thing. We know that the leaders are corrupt, that they buy their positions. We know the soldiers don't have anything really to fight for. And it's absolutely true that they are, the people are beaten down throughout the Middle East, and we can't solve that because it's not our culture, and it's not our religion, Islam. And the real danger with this new group called ISIS, you know, that now have part of Syria and part of Iraq, what they're saying to the citizens is, we are going to be an honest government. And reluctantly, the people know that's the true case, that these radicals aren't stealing just for themselves. And so it's kind of like the Taliban. Everyone can really dislike them, but you can't argue that they're corrupt. I mean, they're wacky, but they're not corrupt. So we're in for a long problem here, but it may not be our problem, because ISIS, these radicals, may have learned the lesson and not allow people among them to want to attack the United States and bring our wrath down upon them. And it could be that, what we do is we end up kind of tolerating them the way we tolerated the Taliban for many years, until the Taliban made the mistake of getting in bed with Al-Qaeda. And you can see that with the president. The president hasn't decided yet whether he wants to start bombing them. Because once he bombs them, he's killing Sunnis. And people are going to see him. They're going to say, you've aligned with Iran and with the people in Baghdad to kill Sunnis. So it may be that we just stay the hell out of this for a while.
Might not be a bad idea. Andrew, you had a comment you want to make?
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question. In terms of a sustainable Iraq moving forward, do you think that a one-nation Iraq is even feasible moving forward? Or have the Kurds in the north kind of provided the template for, you know, securing and patrolling their own area? They take care of their own. And is ISIS going to kind of carve out a second section of Iraq? And then, you know, the country just kind of gets broken down into three workable factions. Is something like that more realistic, or is that not even a possible option either?
No, I think that's inevitable. I think you've described, Andrew, exactly what's going to happen. The Shias will fight in the Shia cities. The Sunnis reluctantly will fight with ISIS to hang on to what they have. And the Kurds have made it quite clear. They don't want the Arabs coming in, whether they're Sunni or Shiite, into Kurdistan. So we now do have three new countries. Two of them are recognized by the – only one's recognized by the United Nations, and that's Iraq, which is now just the Shiite area. I think it's inevitable within a couple of years that Kurdistan will be recognized as a country. And then none of us will recognize, let's call it Sunnistan, but it's going to exist, and it's going to be part of Syria, a good chunk of Syria and a good chunk of Iraq together.
You mentioned this in an article that I was reading about the strongest tribe, about how Churchill and everybody at the end of World War One was breaking up the Ottoman Empire and just didn't even consider what branch of Islam these people were. And is this just kind of the inevitable process that it's had to go through over the last 100 years?
Well, I can't talk about all 100 years. I can say that I think it was what Tom said. Once you have genuinely corrupt people at the top, just exploiting everybody else, and I don't care, you know, that they weren't the English or the French. They had left. It was their own leaders. As long as their own leaders exploit them, there's going to be unrest, period. And it's going to continue. And they are the only ones. They're the only ones who can solve that. We can't solve that for them.
No, I agree. Tom or Rob, either one of you have a comment you'd like to make?
I agree. Absolutely, I agree. The whole purpose of us going in there to establish democracy was completely foreign to them. And I agree with Tom completely. After, 20-plus years of being terrorized by Saddam, they knew nothing else. Generations of Iraqis knew nothing but abject poverty and fear.
Mm-hmm.
So how could we expect them to want to be a democratic society when all they cared about was who's going to feed me, who's going to, when it came to all those basic needs, the only people they could rely on was their own tribe. And whoever's got the biggest stick is going to lead that country, unfortunately, because they're the ones providing those basic needs. That's all the Iraqis really cared about.
It's understandable. Tom?
To piggyback off of that, I just want to say that it truly is a shame, because the country itself, the people themselves, it's a beautiful land. There's some great architecture over there, some great monuments. The green zone is beautiful. Whatever happens, I hope that it gets cleared up at some point, so that someday you know, Turner and Stewart and myself can go back and just feel a little bit more pride or more sense of completion or closure, because, you know, it's a beautiful land. Like you Vietnam veterans, you get a chance to go back to that country now, and you can get a little bit more of a sense of pride. And I just hope that it gets cleared up, because I'd like to do that someday and be able to say that, you know, I helped some of this happen.
I totally agree with all of you. Your comments are just great. And we, you know, it's unfortunate that we have to, you know, had to spend that great amount of time in lives and money and everything else and have everything kind of fall back into the same cauldron that it was before we got there. And it's, you know, the line that kept going through my head was, you know, Saddam was a terrible dictator, but he was our dictator. And, you know, we just can't keep taking care of everybody. It's hard for us to stay back. We just don't understand these cultures and the way that they think. And they certainly don't think like we do, do they, Bing?
I think we'd all laugh and chuckle a little bit after all of us have been advisors and we've seen, you know, it's a different culture. It really is. But the biggest problem is that our leaders, we know, are with us, if you will. They're us.
Mm-hmm.
The problem you have in Iraq and Afghanistan and several other countries is that those who rise to the top steal from their own soldiers. They'll steal the pay, they'll cut back on the food, and as a result, they don't have any cohesiveness as fighting units the way we do.
I go back and I think about, you know, when we went into Iraq, and you've mentioned this, and I've heard this from Iraqi veterans too, you know, we threw everybody out, and we brought in, quote, the good guys, and the good guys just kept going with what the bad guys were doing, because now it was their turn.
Correct. And that's true in both countries. It's as true in Afghanistan now as it was then in Iraq. They just tried to grab everything they could for the sake of themselves.
I don't know. Andrew?
So, Bing, do you see Afghanistan as just on an inevitable course? And at what point is there anything that we can do to stop that course while we're still there? Or is it just a lost cause, and eventually we'll just bide our time until we leave, and then this will happen?
I believe that's going to happen, Andrew. But you can see the dilemma now for President Obama, and he hasn't been a strong commander-in-chief, to put it mildly, but he now recognizes that if he pulls the plug and pulls us all out, it's going to collapse while he's still the president. So I think what he'll do is he'll keep some of us there while he's still president, but his heart is not in it. So it looks to me like an inevitability is going to occur in Afghanistan, and it's going to look like Iraq. But we won't care as much about Afghanistan because it's just a pile of rocks in the middle of nowhere. Iraq is a bigger problem because it's right smack in the middle, in the center of the Middle East.
Well, what do you think? We've got about 4 minutes left, Bing. Hypothetically, what do you see happening in the next 5 years in the Middle East? Is it just going to explode, or is it just going to kind of break off into their segments again?
I think it's well.
easy question.
Okay, you know. I'll take a stab at it, and you know, I'm really interested in what the other guys have to say too, though. But okay, I think we've seen about what we're going to see. That is, the radicals, the Sunni terrorist radicals, are going to have part of Syria, and they're going to have part of Iraq. They're going to keep that. I think that Russia is going to keep its client in Damascus. So I think Assad will have part of that country. Iran will have its client state with Baghdad in the south, and Kurdistan will be independent, and we won't particularly care as Afghanistan falls apart. That's basically what I see happening.
Tom, your final statement here as we're running out of time again.
Well, I think Bing's got a great perspective on it. I think we end up with three separate countries. That's how I see it.
Okay. Rob?
And, you know, Bing, you've educated me. very, very enlightening. And looking at it rationally, I completely agree. I think
just like Tom, I would love to go back to Iraq with my grandkids one day and visit the Iraq Disney World, but I know that's never going to happen. So I agree with Bing. I think you're going to see exactly that. It's just going to fracture, and they'll find a way to survive amongst themselves, and we just need to back off and let it happen.
Andrew?
Yeah, just, I mean, I guess today I just, you know, I feel a little disappointed, even more so after hearing Bing's perspective, because, I mean, I think he's spot on, and it just kind of reaffirms the things I believe. But like Rob was saying earlier, you know, I'm not going to try to put my service in Iraq in the context of the larger scheme of the war. I'm going to put my service in Iraq in a personal context of what I personally did and the men that I served with and what we did, and knowing that we did everything that was asked of us and more, and I'll be proud of that.
Well, you have every right to be very proud of that, and that's the same. I feel exactly the same about my service in Vietnam, is that, you know, I did the best that I could. I worked with amazing men and women for my year, and, you know, we just did what we could do. And that's all that, you know, that's what we were asked to do, and that's what we do. And so, Bing, I'm going to ask for your final comments here at the end.
Oh, mine is very simple. Look, we have the strongest military in the world, not because of our gear, but because all of us know how to fight, and we fight for our country, and we fight for each other, and we're well-trained, and I think we can all take away Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan. That people don't want to fool around with the United States of America when we get on a battlefield. They know that. So that's something more than just fighting. I mean, we're the toughest fighters in the world.
I agree. Thank you very much, Bing West, author of The Strongest Tribe. Look him up. He's got some great articles on the Internet. And, Bing, thank you again for being on Veterans Radio.
Oh, I was honored to be on with all these young men from Iraq.
Isn't it? It's just cool. Thank you, Bing.
Thank you.
All right. And Rob Stewart, Tom Fenwick, Andrew Turner, thank you all three of you very much for being on Veterans Radio. And until next week, we'll be back with another story for all of you from Veterans Radio. You are dismissed.